For Pride Month, which was in June, one of our listeners, Chrissy, set up a fundraiser for Point Foundation, but she's planning to go ahead and leave it up for the rest of 2021. So please join in and donate if you can. The Point Foundation helps LGBTQ+ students achieve their goals of higher education with financial assistance, mentoring, leadership programming, and more. Your generosity helps Point provide scholarships and vital programs to a new generation of LGBTQ+ leaders. If you'd like to donate, go to our Instagram, Who's the Boss Podcast, and the link is in our bio. It's listed as Chrissy's Pride Foundation.
Angela, this is Alphonse.
Well, it's nice to meet you, Alphonse.
Al.
Oh, well, it's nice to meet you, Al.
Yeah.
I heard a lot of nice things about you.
Cool.
Does he ever string together more than one syllable?
Yes.
Come on in, sit down.
So, how do you two know each other?
Oh, we're family.
Actually, Al is Mrs. Rossini's uncle. Yeah, well, Mrs. Rossini's great uncle got married late, and Al's mother got married early, and...
Then came Al.
Hey.
Well, actually, Al came before the wedding.
Actually, I was at the wedding.
Hello. Welcome back to...
Hey, yo. Oh, way.
The Who's the Boss Podcast. I'm Tori.
I'm Kevin.
And we are here to rewatch and discuss every single episode of Who's the Boss.
I really put a lot into that.
You did. That,
I was trying to
really, felt some emotion.
Really channel Tony on that.
I think
one.
There is a good AOOA in this episode that we probably should have clipped, but I forgot.
Yeah, well.
Okay, so I have a little bit of news that is not about Who's the Boss, but it's about Judith Light. And it's a show that isn't Who's the Boss that Judith Light's going to be on.
Oh, okay.
Another one.
Yeah, still. I know. That's why she's never going to be on this. She's never going to be on this. Reboot that's never going to happen.
I know
it's right. Terrible
we'll
to
see.
Say
maybe
I know I'll eat my word. I hope I eat my words.
The good thing about the projects that she has been doing is that she has like guest starring roles, so it's not that anything that would take up, you know, a lot of like 8 months of her time or
I know,
something
but
so
we're just all like
we're hopeful but this, I mean she this, is so in demand.
I know everybody good for
wants
her that's
absolutely
great.
Yes.
And I can see why, because she seems, you know, when we talked to her in that thing.
Yeah, she seems like she's probably
like
really
nice
easy
person,
to work with.
Really, yeah.
And she's talented
so,
as hell.
Right. Well, I mean, beside that, I'm saying, right. Like, it's the double whammy.
Right.
Like, you got the really nice person and really good at what
right.
she does. So.
So Judith Light has been added to a show called Shining Veil. It's an 8-episode series that's going to be on Starz. And it actually sounds really good. It's
okay.
It's horror, so I don't know if you're necessarily going to be.
No, I won't watch that on your own.
But it might. Like, I don't know. It kind of seems like it's going to be funny because
okay.
It says, a dysfunctional family that moves from the city to a small town into a house in which terrible atrocities have taken place.
Mm.
But no one seems to notice except for Patricia, played by Courtney Cox.
Oh.
Who's convinced she's either depressed or possessed. Turns out the symptoms are exactly the same.
So, I'm sorry, did you say it's a short series?
It's 8 episodes, but...
Oh.
You know...
It's like a regular...
That just could be first season.
Right. Okay, well.
So...
And that comes... I'm sorry, when does it come out? You said
I don't
this.
Think it says...
Oh, I thought you said.
No.
I thought for sure I was just not
They're
listening.
Shooting now, so I'm not really sure.
Okay.
So, Judith Light's going to play Pat's mother... And it says Light's character is Joan, Pat's lithium-infused mother, who has long battled mental illness, and her daughter, who she blames for her mental illness. Joan is vain and hypercritical, taking any opportunity to recall her prized youth or belittle Pat.
Oh, okay.
All of the horrors that Pat faces, becoming Joan is the most frightening and the most real. So it sounds like a really good character for her to play. Like, it's going to be fun. Because
yeah, no, that sounds good.
So yeah, I like horror stuff, so I'm really kind of curious about it. But it almost seems like it's gonna kind of maybe have some comedy to it. Does Courtney Cox do like full drama? I don't know. So we'll see.
I don't know.
Greg Kinnear's also in it. Greg Kinnear will play her husband. Mira Sorvino is in it.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm excited. Okay. Yeah. Good so, cast. Yeah. So that is another show that Judith Light will be doing that is not the Who's the Boss revival. Oh, and I'm sorry. It was created by Jeff Astroff and Sharon Horgan. And Sharon Horgan we know from Catastrophe on Amazon.
Oh, okay.
So the episode of Who's the Boss that we're going to cover today is Season 5, Episode 10. The title is Mrs. Rossini's Uncle. It first aired on Tuesday, January 10th, 1989. The TV Guide summary says, Mrs. Rossini accuses Tony of being a snob when he doesn't want Samantha to go out with her teenage relative.
Oh, boy. Yes. Wait. Yeah, that's her teenage relative. Wait, what?
Why? It's called Mrs. Rossini's Uncle.
Right.
Yeah.
But I know, but I could see why nobody would want them to go out.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You mean like go out, hang out.
Right. No. It says he doesn't want Samantha to go out with her teenage relative because Samantha wants to go on a date with him.
Right.
Did you watch this episode?
Yes, but okay. Rightfully so.
Oh, yes. No, I agree. Yeah. All right. No, Samantha and... Mrs. Rossini and him are related.
Oh,
Samantha
okay.
is not related.
But the
to
description
him.
Says teenage. No.
With her teenage relative, not Samantha's teenage relative.
Oh, okay. Mrs. Rossini. I have to say, like, I don't. Right. Like, when were they really?
No.
Mrs. Dumb now. Okay. Let me read mine because it'll okay. take away from what I just
okay, go.
Said.
Go ahead.
Okay, and I think this is missing a word, so I'm going to kind of add the word to it. Mm-hmm. But it's during a visit from old Brooklyn friends, Tony decides to, I think it's take, it just says decides to Mrs. Rossini's cocky adolescent cousin. So I think it's Tony decides to take Mrs. Rossini's cocky adolescent cousin
right.
under Al, uh-huh. under his wing.
Okay.
Only is proud when he... Wait a minute. I only is proud when the knave
starts making something
of his life in a beautician schooling. Still, Tony turns defensive once Samantha responds to his bad boy's irresistible charm, which Tony knows is all too well, having grown up pretty much the same way.
Yes.
Related. No, it doesn't say related. I'm just kidding. But, yeah, so that one is was hard to read.
You got through it.
I did.
Very good.
Anyway.
This episode was written by Lee Aronson. This is his last episode. So Lee's written 3 episodes total, A Farewell to Nick, The Matriculator, mm-hmm. and this is his last one.
Oh, okay.
Mrs. Rossini's Uncle.
All right.
When this episode opens, Tony's walking into the kitchen and Mona's already in there. She's reading the newspaper.
Again, Mona just hanging out.
Yes.
Eating the food, reading the paper.
There's going to be brunch, so she's hanging out. And yeah. He says, hey, Mona, what's new in the world? And she says, violence, violence, violence.
Oh, and she's reading a paper.
Right.
We didn't already say it, which I kind of did, but.
One I was going to say, it's not much different than it is now. But it actually right. turns out that she's reading the comic section.
Yes.
She says, Beetle Bailey got punched out by the Sarge again. Ugh. And Tony says, why does that man keep reenlisting? So you looked it up and I looked it up, but you go.
Well, yeah, it was, I actually remember reading Beetle Bailey.
I think
and
I skipped
remember
over
reading,
that one.
I know, it's so funny that there are, when we were growing up, that there were certain ones you just skipped over.
Yeah.
And they were probably good, but you still skip. Like, I used to skip over Tank McNamara.
I don't even know who that is.
Well, it was one of the comics.
Yeah.
But, like, I would read, like, Garfield. There were certain ones. I read every one of them.
Right.
But, like, yeah, Tank McNamara. And I think Tank McNamara was actually kind of funny. Hmm. Maybe it was adult humor or something. I don't know. Like, not, you know, like, dirty stuff. Right. But, like, adult humor right. meaning, like... Yeah, only adults got it. But the interesting thing about Beetle Bailey is it was created by cartoonist Mort Walker, and it's a It's set on a fictional United States Army post, in case you're wondering. That's the information I got. It made me laugh.
Don't want anyone to think
it's fictional.
This is real.
They want to know Beetle Bailey, a cartoon comic, was real.
Right.
But the only one interesting thing about it is in the years just before Walker's death, Mort Walker, who designed or who came up with it, in the years just before Walker's death in 2018 at age 94, it was among the oldest cartoon strip still being produced by its original creator.
Wow.
So he was the original creator until 2018. I thought that was fantastic. Like, very interesting.
Wow, that is.
I know.
And it started in 1950?
Yeah, 1950.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
So, anyway.
So, all right, now I feel bad that Beetle I didn't Bailey read is. Beetle Bailey.
I remember reading Beetle Bailey. I always was bothered by, you can never see his eyes. The hat was over his eyes. Now, how did he see? I don't know. But go look up Beetle Bailey if you don't know what I'm talking about.
So Tony says, we've got Sunday brunch. We've got eggs. We've got muffins. We've got juices. And then the doorbell rings. And he says, we got Mrs. Rosini an hour early. So he rushes out. And I think Mona's like, oh, crap, Mrs. Rosini. But I get free food if I stay. But Mrs. Rosini. Tony comes into the living room. And Angela's coming down the stairs because she also heard the door. She says, I got it. And he says, it's gotten. So I'm guessing it's Sunday. Maybe she was trying to answer the door because it was his day off.
Oh, and he said, that makes sense. Yeah, maybe. Like, give him a break.
Yeah.
Although he was going to make a full brunch.
Well, but he's making a full brunch for his friend.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, everybody's eating it, but he's having his friends over.
Yeah, that's true.
So there's Mrs. Rosini again, Rhoda Gemignani. How many episodes is she in? I'll look it up later.
I don't know. I thought we had looked that up.
I'm sure. At some point we had, and then I forgot, and then I thought of it again right now.
All right. Well, I can find out
here.
Why,
I think
why
I'm almost there.
Oh,
wow. Do 21 episodes.
All right. Wow.
Carmela Rosini. She's in the very last episodes, the last three-parter. So she makes it all the way to the end.
Wow.
Nice to know. Okay, good. So there's Mrs. Rosini. She comes in. She's like, oh, Tony, you look so good. And then she goes to pinch his cheeks. And he's like, oh, no, 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 not the cheeks. And that's always a joke about, like, your family members, right? Like, aunts and uncles or whatever. Grandma would pinch the cheeks. We've never actually seen Mrs. Rosini pinch cheeks before. But she looks like she could be a cheek pincher.
Yeah.
So then she goes for Angela, and she's like, oh, Angela. And Angela covers her cheeks with her hands, all like Home Alone style, and then says, oh, Mrs. Rosini, it's so nice to see you. And Mrs. Rosini looks a tad offended, but she's going to get past it. Now, standing outside the door is a young man wearing a leather jacket with like slick back hair and a black t-shirt. Looks like he could have been in a stage production of Grease.
Yes.
He was going to an audition right after this. She says, come on in, Alphonse. Don't be strange.
That made me laugh.
Don't be strange. She says, Angela, this is Alphonse. And Angela's like, oh, it's very nice to meet you. And then Tony's like, yeah, hi, hey, Alphonse. Nice to see you again. And all Al says is, yeah.
Right.
And then Tony says something else to him, and he's like, cool. Then Angela asks Mrs. Rosini, does he ever string more than one syllable together? Angela, he can hear you. He's right there.
I know.
Like,
well,
four
he answers.
And a half. Yeah. And so he goes, yes.
Yeah.
So yeah, Tony's like, yeah, I've heard a lot of great things about you. Come on in. I don't know if they knew Alphonse was coming over. I'm assuming Tony did for sure, but maybe Angela didn't. So then Angela asks, oh, how do you two know each other? She's like, this is odd. Mrs. Rosini's coming over with a much younger man.
Right.
But she says, well, we're family. And Tony explains that Al is Mrs. Rosini's uncle.
Yeah, which is confusing at first.
So Angela kind of looks like, oh. And Tony's like, yeah, well, Mrs. Rosini's great uncle got married late and Al's mother got married early. And then came Al.
Mm-hmm.
And Mrs. Rosini says, well, actually, first came Al.
Right.
And then Al says, actually, I was at the wedding. And Angela looks all just scandalized.
I know.
So,
like,
over
she can't,
this.
Yeah,
can't
she
compute.
Ain't having it.
And she just sits down. So Mrs. Rosini explains that Al is in Connecticut because he's out there going to college. So Tony asks him which one, Fairfield, Norwalk, and he says, American Beauty College. And they just kind of look at him and he's like, it's accredited. And Tony's like, oh, yeah, yeah, no, it's a good school. I've seen the ads on buses.
On the back of the, on the backs of buses.
Now let's leave. I feel like this is a joke that you wouldn't really hear anymore either. Like being made fun of for going to what's, I don't know. I don't even think beauty school is the school. Correct name for like it. Probably. It's not Greece anyway.
No.
But,
yeah, I don't yeah,
it's
I don't
like cosmetology, and then
maybe,
like
yeah,
for
there you go. That's much
I think
better.
There's also esthetician. I think.
Oh yeah.
So, but he is going to school to learn how to cut hair. So Tony's like, yeah, yeah, it's a good school. Saw it on the backs of buses. And then Angela asks him, well, what made you decide to go to beauty school? And he says, beauty college. And Angela's like, okay, sorry, beauty college.
Yeah.
And Al says, well, it was either that or juvenile detention. And then Mrs. Rossini kind of nudges his arm. So she says, hey, Al, be a doll. She gets up and she's like, go, will you go back out to the car and bring in the nice package of mackerel we brought? Mm-hmm. Yes, let's please get the raw fish out of the car.
Sitting in the car. It's a good call.
Let's and, bring that in the house.
And I guess they're staying all day, right? Because they brought fish.
Well, I think she breakfast. Brought him the mackerel as a gift to use later.
Mackerel as a gift.
Like from her fish, you know, here's some fresh fish.
I know,
for
and
you.
Which tells you that she still has the fish market.
Yes.
Unless we have already known that and I missed it, but.
I would imagine. I mean, I don't think, no, it hasn't explicitly been brought up, but.
Still got it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she still has it. So Al understands what she's doing, and he's like, oh, yeah, this is the not-so-subtle way of telling me that I need to leave so she can tell you about the car radios they found on me. And he walks out, and Angela's like, oh, car radios?
Right, immediately. She's alarmed.
Mrs. Rossini says, he's a teenager. He likes music. And then Tony has a look of concern on his face as well. And Mrs. Rossini says, look, Tony, you know, he's a good kid. He just fell in with a bad crowd. And he really needs someone to show him the right way. And that's why I brought him here with you. Hang on. I need to pause for a second and talk about Tony's sweater.
Okay.
Because I love it.
I know. It's cool.
It is so cool. And I really, like, I almost feel like there needs to be a little moon with the kids from E.T. on a bike in the one. Because it looks like E.T. to me.
Yeah,
the
way, I can see that.
Like,
it definitely has a, you would find this in Urban Outfitters now. Feel to it.
Yes. I'm not crazy about whatever this like black tab is on the neck of it.
Yeah.
It seems a little out of place and it kind of takes away from the trees, but the trees I just think are fantastic and I really like it.
Oh no, it's awesome. I would totally wear that.
Yeah. Mr. Rossini says to Tony, you know, I just need someone to help him find an after school job. And she says, Tony, he actually reminds me a lot of you when you were a kid. And this is cute because Mrs. Rossini gave Tony an after-school job because he talks about how when the kids were getting on the Brooklyn on the bus to go to Brooklyn College and he was working at the fish store. So she probably figured, you know, like if I give him an after-school job, it'll keep him out of trouble because he'll have somewhere to be after school. And now she's hoping that Tony will do the same thing for Al. Mrs. Rossini reminds Tony, don't you remember when you got sent to juvenile hall for taking that garbage truck on a joyride?
What happened? A garbage truck?
And then he says, yeah, we took it to Fort Lauderdale for spring break.
Right. We took it 1,200 miles south or whatever. I don't even know how far.
I think that was like a 17-hour drive.
Right.
And garbage trucks can't go that fast.
In a stolen garbage truck.
Right. That had to be terrible. And how many guys are you going to get in the garbage truck to begin with? And then he says, we didn't do that good that year. Yeah, no kidding, because you're driving a garbage truck around.
Right.
And you probably smelled like garbage. Mrs. Rossini says, you know, you went through a phase.
In a garbage truck.
No, they're just going to think they're being kidnapped. Mrs. Rossini says, you know, you went through a phase. Al's going through a phase. And you turned out to be a fine young man. And she's sure that if he would help, that Al would also be able to be a fine young man.
All right.
And Tony's like, okay, you know, I guess I could spend some time with him. Tony caves so fast with Mrs. Rossini, he cannot say no to her at all.
I know, and that's with everything.
No.
Hey, can you get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, whatever?
Yeah, and run my fish store.
Every morning and run my fish store while I deal with my problems?
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
So then Mrs. Rossini says, thank you, Tony, and she gives him a big hug. She says, you know, not many people living in a fancy schmancy neighborhood would help out a kid like Al.
All right. I don't know what that means, but okay.
And Tony's like, you know, I think this is actually me a great idea. I'll let him help me around the house and do some stuff after school. And then he looks at Angela and he's like, oh, I mean, if it's okay with you, Angela. And Angela's sitting in the same position since she was scandalized about Al.
Right.
being born before the wedding. And she's like, you know, Tony, can I speak to you in the kitchen for a minute?
And you know that means that's trouble.
Right. And Tony's like, oh, sure. And then he says, Mrs. Rossini, talk amongst yourself, because she's now the only one out there. So they walk into the kitchen where Mona is still reading the newspaper. Okay, I want you to pay attention to the image on the back of the newspaper that Mona's reading.
Okay.
It looks like fortune cookies or something. It's not really important what it is, but it's going to change.
Oh, okay.
Angela says, Tony, as the owner of this fancy smancy house. And Tony's like, it's schmancy. She's like, well, that's what I said. Mona says, no, dear. You said smancy.
I know. Mona's always there, quick to answer back.
Oh, yeah. I think it's fortune cookies and a fortune on the back of the paper. And Angela's like, okay. As the owner of this fancy smancy house, and Mona says, you did it again. And she's like, okay, schmancy, schmancy.
Schmancy, schmancy.
Right when she says that, look at the paper in Mona's hand, because now it's like an article with a picture and not the fortune cookie advertisement. Mm-hmm. So either that section before was dress rehearsal and this is the nighttime shot, or true, this little insert here is from dress rehearsal, because you can't tell the rest of the scene because then Mona kind of puts the paper down. So it's hard to tell like what was what, but I thought that was an interesting little blip there.
Hmm. Or maybe she folded the paper over.
No, she doesn't move. It's she's holding the paper the exact same, like, and you would have heard. Like,
you know how people fold it kind of the other way, or? Right. No, I guess not. Yeah, maybe you're right, because if it was folded over, it would have been, the crease would have, like, would have been on the other side.
She would have had to, I think she would have had to actually, like, fold it the other way, gotcha. Because the advertisements would be on one whole back side of the paper.
They messed up.
I think they messed up.
They messed up. That's
and right. It's so fast, too. Like, she didn't have time to really move
it. I just figured people are not going to notice it.
Right. And probably nobody did notice it, especially when TVs were young, were littler. But I watched this a couple of times, and I just caught it, happened to catch it.
I wouldn't have got it.
And she says, anyway, as what I'm trying to say is that we have an expensive stereo. Because now she said stereo wrong because they were making her say schmancy.
Right. So now she can't speak.
Right. All of a sudden. And she gets all mad and then she walks away. And she's like, we have an expensive stereo system. We have my grandmother's Sterling. And Tony's like, oh, hey. I mean, Angela, what are you saying? What are you trying to say here? Okay. I think this is way out of character for Angela. And here's why.
Okay.
She had no problem letting Nick Milano into her house, who was an actual convicted felon, and at one point a fugitive. She's had no problem letting Philly Fingers in her house, whose name is Philly Fingers, because he steals stuff. So, I just think it's, I mean, you know, they obviously need it for this storyline, but it seems odd to me that normally Angela would have been the one like, oh, yes, Tony, yeah, you exactly. certainly should help out yep. Mrs. Rossini. And Al can live here, you know, because Al's pretty much what Tony was when he first got there.
Yeah,
she
exactly.
was never worried he was going to steal anything. So she says, you know, I'm as liberal as the next guy, but couldn't Al just hang out at the next guy's house? And Tony says, I'm shocked. I'm shocked too, Tony, because I think it's bad writing. And he says, let's look past the boy. Let's look past the greasy hair and the dirty fingernails and the motorcycle jacket, and let's look at the boy, the frightened kid who just hasn't had a chance. You know, and what do we have if we won't give him that? And she says, home security. But Tony's like, you really should be more trusting. Mona says, look, Angela, it's not like everyone out there is just trying to steal stuff from you. And besides, I've taken anything that's worth anything anyway. And then Tony's like, yeah, I really could use some help around the house. And that's what turns Angela around. Mm. The fact that her housekeeper, whom she pays, needs some help around the house that she pays him to clean, which is just ridiculous.
I know, right?
Who's paying? Do you think she, I mean, Tony must be giving him some of his money to pay Al for these odd jobs, because there's no way that he's then going to expect Angela to pay him for this.
No, no, he's probably splitting the difference.
Yeah.
Give him a little cut.
So Angela's like, you're right. Okay. I mean, maybe I'm just being too cynical. You know, it's time to trust and lend a helping hand. Then she takes a bracelet off her wrist and she hands it to Mona and says, Mother, keep this at your house. And Mona puts it on. So she has more, there's more of a chance that Mona's going to steal her stuff than Al.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
So we cut to another day where Al is waxing the Jaguar. The Jaguar is now blue. So it is either a new Jag.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Or it got painted blue from the red. I wonder.
I'm going with new one.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll have to keep an eye and see if this is the Jag that lasts through the rest of the series. So he's out there rubbing wax off of the hood. And Tony comes out and he says, looking good, Al. And Al says, I know. Okay, so this actor, I should have gotten to this earlier, this is really a good place to talk about him. So his name is Billy Gallo, and we were discussing this earlier. Kevin does not remember him being on Who's the Boss at all.
No, so, I think it's my days are over.
Yeah, you must have dropped off before then, because I certainly remember Al. He is in 9 episodes total. He makes it all the way to the end. He's in the first part of the 3-episode closer.
Oh, wow.
Of the whole series, yeah. I was surprised. I don't think I remembered his introduction, because I honestly didn't remember this episode, and I didn't remember there ever being a time where Sam was actually attracted to him. So I was surprised when I saw this. So I don't know if I maybe missed this episode or if I just put it out of my head, because I always thought that they were just friends. So he's like, oh, and then what else is he? He was on a lot of stuff in the 80s, and now he's an acting teacher, and he has a podcast. He has a definite Instagram presence. I'll link him when I post this episode. So if you want to check out some of his podcasts and stuff, you can. But he seems to work to help other actors get into the business. So Tony is like, except, you know, you really should be using little circles, because it creates less streaks.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, and Al doesn't care. So then he sees a neighbor probably jogging by, and Tony's like, she yells, hi, Tony. And I wonder whose voice that is, because it's not credited. So it's probably just a crew member or a writer or something.
Yeah, that's probably, yeah.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, why would you pay somebody to come in and do that?
Yeah, no. And Tony's like, oh, hi, Mrs. Johnson, happy jogging. And then Al sees her, and he goes, yo, mama, bring some of that over here.
God.
Yelling at her like a construction worker. And then Tony gets in front of him, and he's like, oh, yes, Mrs. Johnson, please bring your mother by anytime. And then he's like, Al, what are you doing? She's one of our neighbors. Like, you can't just yell at women like that in this neighborhood. They're not going to respond to it well. And he's like, oh, okay, well, what if I call her baby? And he's like, no, no, how about nothing? And Al's like, you know, I was just trying to be friendly. But he doesn't really understand that that's not how you're friendly. I wonder, I mean, I don't know. I don't have much experience with men like Al, but I'm sure this is a caricature of.
Yeah.
But I wonder how much this is, we're supposed to be getting a glimpse as to what Tony was as a kid.
Right. I was wondering that. Like, yeah, are we. Is that what the whole point is?
Yeah,
like,
the whole point is he's a little Tony, I guess.
Yes, a lot like Tony.
And this is probably the type of guy that Samantha would have been dating if they had never left Brooklyn. So then Tony, Al has a motorcycle parked, and Tony walks over and he's like, oh, this is a really nice bike. He's like, yeah, thanks. And then he tells Al, a friend of mine used to have one just like this in school until it got confiscated for illegal parking. And Al's like, really? And where'd you park it? And he says, in the girls' locker room. And we were still on it. I know.
Like, come on.
So he says that Principal Archer was really mad. And now Al's like, oh, wait, Principal Archer, you went to PS 86? And then Tony's like, yeah, class of 68. And Al says, class of 87. So now they're bonding. And then Al says, and 88.
right, of course.
I guess he didn't make it through his senior year. So they're shaking hands and they're starting to laugh and stuff. And then Tony's like, okay, hang on. Let me show you what I mean by the little circles. Tony grabs a rag and some wax and he starts making little circles. And Al's like, oh, yeah, okay. And then Al is still making full strokes.
I know. That's what's so funny. Like, oh, okay, let's see how it's done. And he's just still going to town.
And you hear the audience laugh at it. And I wonder if it was in the script or if it was just something this actor did. Like,
right, like this he just guy blanked out.
Listen, you know? Wouldn't listen to Tony.
Right. That's so funny.
Then Tony asks him how his first week of beauty college was. And he says, it was good. I met the teachers. I was issued a hair dryer. And I figured out how to work those chairs. I bet the chair doesn't seem easy, I will say that. No,
I was about to say, I think that's a legitimate joke if you're, you know, a hair person.
Yeah, because you have to learn how to
I know, because you got to pump the chair up and then let it down. I don't know, probably not easy to, especially those really nice barber chairs.
Yeah, and Tony says, oh, sounds like a full week. And then Al says, you know, this beauty school may not be so bad because you get to meet a lot of chicks and you get to play with their heads.
All right. That doesn't sound weird at all.
And Tony's like, you know, meeting chicks is cool, but there's also some work involved too. And Al's like, yeah, that's sure. You know, it's like, I figure if this doesn't work out. Oh, no. First he says he's hoping he'll meet a rich customer and then that lady will bankroll him. And then he'll have a chain of salons, and everyone will be working for me.
Oh, this guy's got a dream.
Yeah, so I had all figured out. And Tony's like, okay, well, you know, it's not going to really be that easy. And Al says, yeah, okay, well, if I flunk out of beauty college, then I'll go to famous broadcasting school. He's like, I got pretty good diction.
okay.
He doesn't.
I know.
Narrator, he doesn't have good diction. So Tony says, okay, do you mind if I give you a little lecture? And Al says, yeah. And I feel like they cut here. I feel like there was more in syndication because it's kind of an awkward cut. But Tony just says, listen, you're growing up now. And pretty soon you're going to have to decide what you want to do in life. And you're going to have to go after it. And Al's like, oh, okay, well, that's it. And Tony's like, yeah, that's the end of the lecture. Have you heard it before? And Al says, yeah, but you actually did it better than most. So he still likes Tony. Tony tells him, Mrs. Rosini's coming over for dinner tonight. Do you want to stay? And he's like, well, I would, but I have to study. There's a follicle test tomorrow, and I really need to study. And then Tony's like, yeah, you better brush up. So then Tony goes to walk inside and Al's following him. And he's like, no, stay out here, little circles. And he leaves Al to wax the car. So yeah. Later in the afternoon.
It's got quite a Karate Kid vibe to it.
Oh, yeah.
Like a wax on, we stay out here and wax the car.
Except really Tony's just paying him to wax Angela's Jaguar because that was his job.
But Tony is Mr. Miyagi here. Teaching, you know, keep doing, and the guy doesn't know why he's waxing.
Pretty soon he just won't be yelling at women in the street, and he won't know why. See? It's all wax on, wax off. Right.
Exactly.
So later in the afternoon, Samantha and Bonnie come home from school. They're in the kitchen, and Angela's telling Bonnie about a terrible date she had. Jason took her to the country club, and it turned out that it was hoedown night.
Oh, not hoedown night.
So there were cardboard cows cut out and little kids dressed up in plaid saying, howdy, partner, and yeehaw. And Bonnie's like, oh, that sounds terrible. But then Bonnie looks out the window that's over the sink, and she asks Sam, who was the guy waxing Angela's car? And Sam's like, oh, that's some guy my dad's trying to help out. I think his name is Al, and we're supposed to be nice to him.
Yeah.
Well. Then she looks out the window and realizes that Al's cute. And she's like, whoa.
Yep. And it hits
her. Yes. Hello, Al. And Bonnie says, let's go outside and be nice to Al. So they go running out there, and they're just kind of standing there staring at him, and they don't know what to say. And Bonnie's like, say something. And Samantha's like, I don't know what to say. So then she goes up behind him and she says, you know, you really should be using little circles. Which is great, because again, it's something that, you know, Tony has told Samantha hundreds of times. And Al turns around and he's like, what is it with this family and the little circles? And then he sees Samantha.
Little circles.
And he's like, whoa. And she's like, hi. And she's like, yeah, the little circles keep it from streaking. And he says, you must be related to Tony. And she says, yes, I'm his daughter. I'm a little weirded out by the fact that, because isn't Al, I mean, I guess he's supposed to be 19, maybe? Because it does say teenage.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So maybe he's like 19. And she's what, 16, almost 17? Okay, that's fine. It's just that this guy looks like he's like 26.
I know.
So it seems weird.
Yeah.
But at the time, I don't think I would have thought that he looked that old because I was like 12. And then, so she says, yeah, I'm Tony's daughter. She shakes his hand, and Bonnie comes up behind her, and Bonnie's like coughing to try to get Samantha to introduce her. And then Sam's like, oh, this is my friend Bonnie, and she needs to go home now to take care of that cough. She's like, don't forget, plenty of bed rests and liquids, and I'll see you in the morning. But Bonnie's like, I feel fine. And she's like, no, you don't. And she pushes her out back into the kitchen, and Bonnie leaves. And then Sam's like, sweet kid, trying to act older. So then Al says, hey, you have really nice hair. And she's like, thank you. And he asks her, do you blow dry it? And she's like, yeah. And then he says, keep it on low and use your diffuser. So I think that even though Al got roped into beauty school, I think he kind of likes it.
Yeah.
Because he's taking notice of Sam's hair and giving her tips. Also, Sam's hair is in a low flipped ponytail. Which I've seen that hairstyle again, like these days. And she's like, okay, well, thank you. You know, I'll remember that. And he tells her it's his racket, which I guess means that it's his area of expertise. So Samantha notices his motorcycle in the driveway. And she's like, oh, is that your bike? And he's like, yeah. And she's like, oh, I love it. And he asks her, do you want to go for a ride? Because I have an extra helmet. Sam says, I don't think I should because my dad really wouldn't like it. And Al says, oh, I guarantee he won't say a word. She's like, well, how do you know? And he says, because we won't tell him. So she's thinking about it, and then we don't see what she does, but...
Well, Al's going to be on Tony's bad side, if you're not careful.
So back, we cut to inside the house, where Angela and Mona are coming home. And Mona is saying to Angela, I won't go. And Angela's like, mother. And she says, you can't make me. And Angela's like, listen, ridiculous. I really think that you should take this class because you'll learn typing, shorthand, and a lot of other secretarial skills. And then Mona's like, oh, no, you're not going to trick me into learning all that stuff because then people are going to expect me to do it.
I know. And you know, whatever the class is, that Angela's going to pay for it.
Right.
And yet Mona doesn't want to get any. I mean, seriously, Mona's like this high person that just lives in the house, doesn't want to advance herself at all. Kind of want to live there, eating all the breakfasts and the
right,
and just kind of milling around.
And it's ridiculous that she's had this job for
doing
this long,
next to nothing,
with not
at,
knowing
at her
how to
job,
type,
right?
Or have shorthand skills or secretarial skills.
It's not surprising, though. Actually, not at all.
Angela and Mona go into the kitchen where Tony is singing, "He ain't heavy, he's my brother."
I know, it's so random. Now, sorry, you go ahead.
Well, no, I looked it up because I knew I recognized the song, but I had no idea who it was. And I still don't. It's the Hollies. I don't know who the Hollies are.
Yeah, I know who the Hollies are, but you played me the song, and I do not recognize that song. And it's rare that you would know a song
and
I wouldn't.
Yeah, I totally recognize this song.
Yeah, right this moment.
Maybe it was just something my dad or mom liked.
And yeah, right,
your parents
exactly.
Didn't like
and
it.
I just...
Yeah.
But actually, did you get a year on what...
It,
I mean,
it looks like
older...
1975. It's
okay,
a supersonic
it
1975.
One of those songs that was big, but we just, not one hit wonder, because I think the Hollies have had other songs, but just like one of those songs that was big that slipped through the cracks or whatever. Yeah. Let us know.
Maybe
my
parents
song.
Were a big Hollies fan. I have no idea. Yeah, I just know that
maybe
I
just heard
remember
it
hearing it growing up.
Something.
And then he goes into the next lyric and he's really belting it out. And he realizes that Angela and Mona are standing there watching him. And they're giggling. And he's
He's singing away.
Yeah. Hi, ladies.
This is almost something I'd be doing.
Yes, of course. Except you wouldn't stop when we see you.
No, that's true. I just keep singing.
Yeah. So I often think you're talking, and then I realize that you're just singing random nothingness.
That doesn't happen a lot.
So they say to Tony, oh, well, you're in a really good mood. And he says, yes, you know, it feels really good to help. Mm-hmm. So he's super excited about what's going on now with Al. He says, I'm helping a fellow human being and a future beautician. And then Angela's like, you know what? I must say that I think Al is doing a fine job. He did a terrific job on my car, and my radio is still in it. So Angela has come around now, and she no longer is worried that Al's going to try to steal all of her silver and her jewelry.
I know.
And then she says to her mother, which I'm thinking is the whole reason why we had this setup of them walking through the living room, it's nice to know that some people around here have ambition.
Mm.
And Mona's like, you know, I don't, she doesn't and even
Mona
care.
Mona doesn't care. Right, doesn't
no.
care.
She has no, she does not care.
Zero
that she has zero, right. She's just waiting for dinner. Yeah. She wants to know what's for dinner.
Yeah. Right. Doesn't care.
And Tony says, you know, I think that kid's okay. And he just needed a push in the right direction. Well, Jonathan comes in right then. So Jonathan, his part of this show now is to be the bringer of bad news.
Bringer of
bad news.
The
spoiler of Christmas presents. Poor
they
Jonathan.
They just use him for these moments and then send him away.
They really do. They're like, okay, well, now we need a way for Tony to figure out that Sam, oh, I know. Jonathan will just come in and tell on her. Jonathan comes in and he's like, wow, have you seen Al's Harley? And they're like, yeah, it's nice, isn't it? And Tony's all excited about it. And Jonathan says, yeah, even Sam looks good on it.
Oh, boy.
Right. And now Tony's like, wait, what? And so he looks out the window, and we hear tires squealing.
Yep, that's it.
Apparently, Al gave her a helmet, and then he just peeled out of the driveway.
He gave her a helmet.
And now Tony's like, oh, yeah, that's no. It. And he says, this is terrible. And Mona says, yeah, he promised me the first ride.
Of course.
So a little later, we see Angela actually sitting and writing at that little writing desk by the front door.
Yeah, it's rare.
Yeah, you normally.
Never see that.
It's never utilized. It's just kind of there. And I love how, are we supposed to think, like an actual Who's the Boss land? Is there a wall right there, or is this table just floating in the middle of the foyer area?
I don't know. I think maybe we're supposed to think that there's a table.
I'm thinking we're supposed to think there's a wall.
And I mean, I'm sorry, table. Hello. A wall is what I meant.
And maybe
to say.
Like a window there or something and not just a table floating in nothingness. And so she hears a sound outside and she says, oh, Tony, they're back. And he runs out and he's like, oh, she's alive. I'm going to kill her.
I know.
But Angela goes to the window. And when I heard this, when I was watching this episode, I was like, that's the worst motorcycle sound they could have possibly found. But it's because it's actually Mrs. Graham starting up her chainsaw. Angela realizes.
Right.
And then she says, whatever happened to Mr. Graham? But Tony doesn't have any time to contemplate that right now. He says, who cares about Mr. Graham? My baby's out on a motorcycle. Now we hear another sound in the background that sounds much more like a motorcycle. And Angela peers out the window and she's like, oh, looks like your baby's about to be off of a motorcycle. And Tony says, and she'll never be on one again. Samantha got off this motorcycle in record time.
Oh my gosh, so fast.
You hear the motorcycle.
Apparently she's the Tasmanian devil.
The next thing you know, she has no helmet on and she's coming through the front door. And she's like, oh, hi guys. And Tony's like, young lady, don't you ever get on a motorcycle again. It's too dangerous and you're too young and that's it. And Sam's like, you're right. I should have known better. She's not going to get in any trouble here because she has plans for the rest of the evening. And she's like, you know what? You're right, and I'm sorry, and I should have known better. And then she says, you know, I really understand now, like, why you like Al so much, because he's a really cool guy, and he's so different from the guys around here, and we had so much fun together. And Tony's like, what? And Samantha goes to run up the stairs and she's like, oh, by the way, guess who's coming to dinner? She's like, I talked to Alan into joining us. So before he had a study, but now since he's met Samantha, he is actually going to come over for dinner.
Oh, boy.
So Samantha runs up the stairs and Tony says, why couldn't it have been Sidney Poitier?
Right.
All right. That's a recycled joke.
Right. Right. You're right. Wait, we talked about this.
Yeah. So in the very first time that Nick Milano comes to the house, Angela invites him. And she says to Tony, guess who's coming to dinner? And Tony says, it better be Sidney Poitier. And the joke there is that he is in a movie called Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, which is about a white woman who I think they're engaged or maybe they're already married. She goes on vacation. She meets him. They fall in love. They get married. And then she brings him home to meet her family. And it's Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. And I think when we talked about that joke the first time, we said, oh, we should watch that movie. That sounds interesting. And then we didn't. And so
we just didn't.
Right. So now,
because we're too busy trying to watch Who's the Boss?
I'll say, or Supermarket Sweep.
Right.
Or lately playing old Nintendo games on whatever that little Nintendo thing is.
Right.
So, yeah. So we still haven't watched it, but it does sound interesting. And I do think that we should. So later that evening, and we know it's later because we see an outside shot of the house, we quickly zoom into the living room windows, and we see Samantha inside at that mirror that Tony's always looking in, fluffing up her hair. Her hair has so much volume here.
It's got a life of its own.
It really does. And she says, Dad, do you like my hair? And he says, yeah, I mean, it looks nice, but it always looks nice. And she says, well, Al suggested that I blow dry it on low and I use a diffuser. And Tony's like, a diffuser? A diffuser? Don't you think you're a little young to be using a diffuser? And she's like, yeah, I don't know what I was thinking. And then he goes running into the kitchen where Angela's sitting there and he says, what's a diffuser?
Doesn't know. He has no idea.
And Angela says, it's an attachment for a hairdryer. Why do you think I need one? And Tony says, well, maybe, but that's not the point.
I know. It's kind of funny, like, more like modern comedy line.
Yeah,
like,
I really think that whole exchange is pretty funny.
It's almost like it feels like it could have been ad-libbed in a way. I mean, it probably wasn't, but you know what I mean? Because it's pretty clever.
Yeah, with all the stage direction and stuff, but
right,
and it's funny because what did Tony think a diffuser was?
I don't know. I know something bad.
Yeah, you don't want to ponder that
something
for too long.
Real bad.
So he's like, okay, well, that's not the point. You know, I've been thinking. I think we could do more for Al. I think I'm going to try to get him a job over at Ernie's Hardware Store. And Angela says, that's two towns away. Why would their hardware store be two towns away? Do they not have a hardware?
Only one. I don't know.
You think there's only one hardware store in Fairfield? And Tony's like, it's actually three, but who's counting? And he's like, you know, this way he'll be able to see more of Connecticut. He shouldn't really be confined to just the Fairfield area. Mm-hmm. You know, just our house. And Angela says, and Sam. And then Tony's like, Sam? No. Like, what are you talking about? Where do you get these things? And Angela says, aren't you the one that said we should give him the benefit of the doubt and look past the fingernails and the leather jacket and, you know, he's not heavy. He's my brother. She starts singing it. And then she turns around and she starts belting out the next line, just like he was doing earlier. And he's like, yeah, okay, I get it. I understand. I sang. He's like, I get the point, and I'll try to keep an open mind. So the doorbell rings. They go out there, and Sam's opening the door to Mrs. Rossini. And Mrs. Rossini says to Sam, every time I see you, you become more and more of a woman. And Tony's like, Miss Rossini, she's not a woman. Estelle Getty, that's a woman. And he pulls Sam away. Which is funny, because now Golden Girls is wildly popular. So,
right.
Because this is 89. And I think it started in 85.
I was just looking that up. You're right. Yeah.
So that would have been a really relevant reference at the time. And still, everybody still loves the Golden Girls. So still funny. So yeah, he says, that's a woman. And Ms. Rossini comes in and now Al follows behind her and he sees Sam. They're just dreamy-eyed looking at each other saying hi. And Ms. Rossini goes over to Angela And she's like, oh, hi, Angela. I'd pinch you, but I'm holding cannolis. Oh, I want a cannoli.
I knew you were going to say that.
And Angela's like, oh, what a shame. And Mrs. Rosini's like, you're right. Here, hold this. So she gets Angela to hold the cannolis, and then she pinches her face and gives her a big hug. So over by the door, Al says to Sam, oh, I got you something. And he's like, here's some shampoo and some mousse and some conditioner and body oil. And then Tony grabs the body oil and he says, I'll take that.
Yeah, not having that.
And he's like, dry elbows. And Angela reminds him, open mind. Let's keep an open mind. And now just then, Mona walks in the back, that back door. And Mrs. Rosini goes for her. She's like, oh, Mona. And she looks like she wants to pinch her cheeks. And Mona says, don't even think about it, sister.
But what was Mona going to do?
Beat her up.
I guess so.
So now she sees Al. The two of them have become fast friends. And he's like, Moan. She says, Al. And he says, Jill. She says, Moose. He says, cool. She says, totally. And then she walks away. So they're speaking each other's language.
Yeah, exactly.
So
Samantha. Which is classic Mona.
Oh, absolutely. To be up on
the
trend,
you know, the hips.
Yeah, she had no problem getting to know Al
right
away. So Sam and Al sit down on the couch, and Mrs. Rosini's like, oh, what a cute couple. I wish I had a camera. So she must be on to the fact that Al's interested in Sam and that Sam's interested in him. And they're sitting on the couch and talking, and she says, I had a lot of fun today. And he tells her, your hair looks great. You diffused it, didn't you? And she's like, oh, yeah, well, you know, I tried. So then he gets her to turn around and he starts putting her hair up and he says, have you ever thought of an up sweep? So he's playing with her hair and like trying to put it up and Tony's trying to stop this. He's going to do anything. And he's like, oh, okay, well, dinner's ready. And Angela's like, that's funny. I didn't hear a ding. I didn't hear the timer go off. And Tony just goes, ding.
Just again.
And he starts to head for the kitchen and Al's telling Sam how much her hair up accentuates her swan-like neck. And Mrs. Rosini's like, do you see what I see? She's like, there are definite sparks between the two of them.
Oh, boy.
And Tony's like, really? You see sparks? What is this sweater Tony's wearing?
I don't know.
It's like a far chair.
Cry from the awesome one he was wearing earlier.
The little boxes look like they have tilted chairs in them.
Could be. I don't know.
Or lightning bolts with dots around them. I don't understand what is happening there. But what's funny, too, is that Tony is looking at young Tony and Samantha's mom. Like, that's probably, you know, their age range and, like, what they... Samantha's probably a little more sophisticated than Marie was at that time because she was also from Brooklyn. But he's basically looking at him and realizing now, like, now that this is my daughter, this is kind of threatening to me. Mr. Rosini says, Tony, this is one to chew on. If your daughter and my uncle get married, that would make me Sam's niece. And she just starts cracking up. And she's like, and your grandniece.
Your grandniece.
But Tony's like, ding, 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 dinner's ready, trying to stop all of this. But Samantha says, you know, Al and I really aren't that hungry. And there's an 8 o'clock showing of Daddy's Little Girl at the Cineplex. And Ms. Rosini is like, oh, go, enjoy. So she got Al to come to dinner with this. She had this plan the whole time that they were going to take off and go see a movie.
Yeah, I guess so.
So Mrs. Rosini is like, oh, go. You only live, you're only young once. And Mona says, speak for yourself.
Oh, yeah, of course, Mona.
But Tony starts,
dream.
Tony starts following them out the door because he's like, he doesn't want her getting back on the motorcycle. But Sam's like, don't worry, I've got it. I'm driving. So she shows him her keys and they head out the door. And Mr. Rosini's like, oh, I just wish I had a camera. And Tony's like, will you stop with the camera? And Mona offers, I have a Polaroid. Okay, first of all, you're no help.
Right.
And second of all, they're gone. Help. He's like, I don't want any pictures and I don't want them dating and I don't want to be your great uncle.
Well, if it was today, no cameras would be no problem.
Right. Everybody right in the pocket. Mr. Rosini. Yeah. She would have just pulled out her iPhone and started taking pictures.
That's right.
But Angela's like, what are you so worried about? They just went to see a movie and Al's not that bad. And Mrs. Rosini's like, what do you mean not that bad? So she's offended. And Tony's like, look, Miss Rosini, like, I don't want my daughter dating him. He calls him a hood with a hairbrush. Miss Rosini is offended, and she's like, are you saying that my uncle isn't good enough for Sam? And Tony says, bingo.
I keep forgetting that he's the uncle.
I know, like, yes, which is fantastic.
You think that he's supposed to be a nephew or something. It's just funny.
And then Miss Rosini says, thank God I don't have a camera to take a picture of this. Mm-hmm. And she says, you have forgotten where you came from. She's like, you think you're a big shot now and that he's not good enough. She's like, you've turned into a suburban snob.
And what would taking a picture prove?
Well, I think...
You can't even recording the conversation.
Because she wanted a camera earlier to take a picture of how cute the kids were. Right. So she's just saying,
well, the
thank
camera
goodness.
Would capture how much of a snob he is.
I don't know.
I don't know what that means. All right. Sorry.
She leaves. She storms out the front door. And then right then, the actual timer goes off. Ding. And Tony's like... So we cut to him later in the kitchen, and he's looking up the word snob. And he says, one who despises one's inferiors and whose condescension arises from social or intellectual pretension.
I know. And then he looks up and he's like, pretension.
Pretension. And then he looks that word
up. I know. That's funny. Yeah. Oh my God.
Like
it
one.
Just goes down a rabbit hole.
Yeah. It's just fantastic that he's looking at a dictionary, because what are those? Nobody has a dictionary anymore. Angela and Mona come into the kitchen, and Tony asks them, do you think I'm a snob? And Mona's like, darn right you are. But Angela defends him, and she's like, Mother, a snob isn't just one incident. It's a certain attitude towards some people. And then she looks at Tony, and she says, in your case, people from Brooklyn. And then we get a real good, hey,
yeah,
oh.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, I love Brooklyn.
Got him fired up.
Yeah. He said, I didn't leave because I don't love Brooklyn. He said, I left so that my daughter would have some of the choices that I didn't have. And he says, sue me if I want her to marry a doctor or a lawyer or even a hairdresser if he's a stand-up kind of guy. And he says, and maybe Al will be that someday, but right now, that's not him.
Hmm. So you have to move to Connecticut to marry a lawyer or a doctor.
Yes,
none of those in Brooklyn.
No, they don't have those in Brooklyn.
Okay, yeah. All right. I just wanted to make sure.
So now Tony's feeling better about himself, and he's like, oh, okay, you know, I was feeling pretty bad about myself, but I think I can live with it now. And Mona says, if you can live with my daughter, you can live with anything. Poor Angela just got thrown under the bus.
I know.
For no reason. Now Samantha comes in, and she's home. And he says, where's Al? She says, he's in the washroom. Who calls it a washroom?
I don't.
Tony says, Samantha, we need to have a serious talk. I don't want you going out with Al anymore. And she's like, is that an order? And he says, yes, from the commander-in-chief, supreme commander.
Commander-in-chief.
And she says, you know what? It's just lucky for you that I don't want to go out with Al anymore. She says he was a total embarrassment. He was rude to the ushers, and he threw popcorn at the people in front of them. What is wrong with this guy?
I don't know. I have no idea. But
and he talked back to the
Samantha's
screen.
Samantha's not.
No, she's not having
smart
it.
Enough.
Yeah.
To, yeah,
she couldn't even take the hoedown at the country club. She's not going to deal with some guy throwing popcorn and yelling
true.
At the screen.
That's true.
And he's like, oh, okay, well, great. Then we don't have a problem. And she says, but if I did like Al, you and I would be having a big fight tonight. And Tony insists that he would win. And Samantha says that she would win. And she leaves.
Oh, my gosh.
And Angela's just laughing at it because she's happy that Jonathan's still only 12.
I know.
And Angela says, when I was Sam's age, if I had gone out with somebody who threw popcorn at the screen, I would have dumped him too. And then Tony says, well, it's a good thing we didn't know each other then. This part's really cute. And she's looking at him and she's like, you threw popcorn at the screen? And he says, no, the ushers. Oh, and she's
big
like,
difference.
Yeah. She's like, well, that's different.
Yeah.
Meaning like, I still would have gone out with you.
Right, right. The screen.
Although it's really not different at all.
But, right. Right.
We're just lucky that Tony's grown up.
Right, exactly.
Poor Marie had to deal with that, Tony. And Angela gets the fully formed, like, sensitive Tony. So Al walks in and he's like, yeah, it's getting late. I guess I'm going to be cutting out. So he's gotten the feeling from Samantha that she no longer wants anything
to
do with
him. Yeah,
he's
getting the vibe.
Yeah. And Tony says, well, how are you getting home? He's like, yeah, I'll hitch. So he goes to leave. And then Tony and Angela kind of look at each other like, you can't just let him hitch home. So he goes out after him.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I'll drive you home. At first, I thought he had to drive him to Brooklyn. But then I remember that Al actually lives in Connecticut.
Yeah.
So it's fine. So Tony asks Al, how was the movie? And he's like, oh, it was great. It's like, I yelled at the screen and I threw some popcorn at the people in front of us.
He explains exactly what happened.
Right. And Tony says, can I give you one more lecture? And then they walk off. And then we get a, who's the boss? We'll be back in a moment.
Stick around.
I love these. I need to clip one of these. They're fantastic.
They are good.
Now, in the tag of this episode, Tony's on the phone with Mrs. Rossini. And see, that's what I was saying. The mackerel was for another time. Because he's telling her, oh, the mackerel was delicious. Thank you very much. So I guess some people bring a bottle of wine. Mrs. Rossini brings mackerel to a dinner party. Or actually, mackerel. That was a brunch.
That sat in the car.
Right. It was, yeah. Maybe in the car for
an hour or so.
Hour and 45 minutes or so when they, ugh, after they, while they gross. Drove, when she came in the house. So then he's like, I love you too. I love you, Miss Rossini. Okay. No, I think you look great as a blonde. So Al really? Must be using Miss Rossini to do hair.
Oh, gosh, dang it. I didn't get that until you just said it right now. Because I was trying to figure out why did
she why would Miss Rossini be blonde? Yeah.
So dumb. God. You look good as a blonde.
So then Angela's like, oh, dear. When
and
she
how did
hears
it all
that.
Go wrong? Like, what exactly happened? That
I don't know.
Went blonde.
I feel like that's going to happen on this show with Tony.
Oh, really?
I
oh,
think
boy.
At some
okay.
point, Al dyes Tony's hair blonde.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. After.
I'll be curious to see that.
I remember him in blonde hair, and I think it's Al's fault.
It's Al's fault.
So Angela's like, oh, my gosh. Can you believe the influence that Al has over Mrs. Rossini? And Tony's like, yeah, I'm just glad that we don't have to deal with that with Sam. Well, then Jonathan, who's only been in the episode one other time, comes flying down the stairs, opens the front door, and yells, yo, mama, bring some of that over here.
Oh, no.
But it is hysterical.
It is. It's really funny.
Because he's so darn cute. And just hearing him try to say that line is hilarious.
Walk in the room and just start yelling that.
So now Angela realizes she's got a big problem on her hands. Yep. And that is the end of the episode. I'm going to go first with rating.
Oh, okay.
I gave this one a 6.5.
Okay.
It's okay. I think I enjoyed it a little more than I thought I was going to. I'm not crazy about the Al character right now,
right.
But I remember him fondly, so I think that I will like him as time goes on.
Okay.
If I'm remembering correctly.
All right.
And I always like to see Mrs. Rossini, but like I said, I kind of felt that Angela was out of character for this, even though it's needed, because somebody needs to not want Al there to then then have, the tables turn when Tony realizes he doesn't want Al there.
Right.
But right. I don't know. It was just kind of a setup for the joke, I guess. Yeah, okay. That's all.
Yeah. I'll give it a 6.5 as well. I'm curious to learn more about Al since I don't remember anything about him. Which I'm really starting to watch this season, I start getting vague. It starts getting real foreign to me. Yeah. And I just, in some episodes, I'm like, oh no, I do remember this one. But I do think that that's us watching it recently before we started the podcast. I think we would just watch random episodes.
Yeah. There's no way we watch this one though.
No, there isn't. Cause I don't remember a thing about it, but I'm saying I was hoping that maybe I caught some of season 5, but I really think I checked out on the show. So
it's all new.
It's going to be all a learning experience. I get to learn all about Al. Because when you last night you were like, he's in nine
episodes.
Yeah, and I was like, what? I don't remember this guy at all.
I know, and I was surprised you couldn't remember him because I really remember Al. I would think that Al's in 25 episodes. I don't know why I would have thought he was in more.
I think we always think that. I find that a lot when I watch it. I'm like, oh, they were only in X amount of episodes. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because this show you watch once a week and it dragged on.
That's true. Yeah.
For so long, it felt like, oh my God, that person was on forever. And you realize if it's only X amount of episodes. Yeah. So that happens a lot.
I feel like when we interviewed Adam Carl, he even said that he felt like he was in more than just three episodes of Who's the Boss. Because but I guess the shooting it and, you know.
Right. And I remember him, of course, because I was watching those episodes as a kid. And I think those some characters just stuck with you because you either liked them or the significance of their character or whatever. So.
Who is the boss around here? Me or my mother? Or maybe it's you?
All right. So during rating, I'm proud of myself because I came up with a boss. No, there was one scene that actually particularly made me realize who the boss is. And it's actually obviously Samantha.
Oh, nice.
Because of when she said, if I would have liked him, you would have been really mad. I would have been really mad at you.
Right.
Or whatever that line was. We would have a big fight or whatever. Yeah, I can't remember exactly what he said. But then it made me realize that Samantha was mature enough to know that Al's kind of an idiot.
Right.
Because he's throwing popcorn at the screen and whatever. So so that's what made me realize that Samantha actually kind of knew what was going on this whole time and gave it a shot. I'm going to go hang out with him and kind of realize this guy's not for me.
Yep.
Which I don't know what happens later, so.
Yeah, like I said, I was surprised that there had ever been a romantic element between them. Because for as far as I could remember, they had only ever been friends. So I'm not familiar with this.
And in the beginning of the episode, she was all about like, look at this guy.
Right.
You know,
and
he's out there waxing the car the wrong way.
Wax on, wax off. I agree. It was Sam. You know, she was going to go out with him, and then she made her own decision of this guy's kind of an idiot right now.
Yep.
And like I said, I believe Al is going to grow on us, but I don't think there's ever any other romantic potential between the two of them.
All right. I'm looking forward to growing with Al. It'll be exciting.
So the next episode we're going to cover is Your Grandmother's a Bimbo. This is a Jonathan episode.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, so I'm excited.
We'll see him more than three times.
Yes, we will. We'll get to see him more than three times. And I think
for 3 minutes,
we're even going to get to see some school friends of his or people at school, not necessarily people who are friends with him.
I look forward to it.
So you can reach us at Who's the Boss Podcast on Instagram or go to Who's the Boss Pod 1 on Twitter. On our Facebook page, it's Who's the Boss Podcast, or go to anchor.fm/WTB Podcast, and there you can leave us a voice message. Okay, thank you, everyone. Have a good night.
All right, good night.
If you like this podcast, please subscribe and give a big thumbs up and tell all your friends. And maybe you can tell your grandma, your mother, and your sister or brother. Maybe have no siblings. Tell your dog and cats. Bye.